Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Another thing about the Scott Peterson case that has always puzzled us is the widespread, almost unanimous opinion that Scott was guilty before one piece of evidence was introduced. If you examine every high-profile case of the past two decades, O.J., Michael Jackson, Casey Anthony, Robert Blake, the Duke lacrosse team, Dr. Conrad Murray, you'll see that every one of the defendants had some group or constituency that argued on behalf of their innocence. But Scott Peterson didn't. When we took over the case, we soon found out that it was considered an accepted fact that he was guilty.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one of a kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
Yeah, man. I'd say get it on, but I'm going to say get it on in a second because we're doing a live town hall. Reasonable Doubt, our first one. Actually, I was there. It went swimmingly. You guys are going to love it. But first, I'll tell you about Alone. Back for the fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists. Still dropped in an unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, and sons, a married couple. It's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammates, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks. No forced challenges. It's real, baby. Teams are split, equipped with 5 items each to win. They must find each other and survive on North Vancouver Island, the longest. $500,000 at stake. That ain't a little Z-Brick or Jay on the Steamroller. $500,000. Tune in for all new episodes. Thursday, 10 o'clock, 9 Central on History. That's Alone. Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 Central only on History. And right before we jump to our legal show, oh, here's a coinky dink. LegalZoom, summer's here. Time for family vacations. But the most important thing you can do is prepare for your family's future. How about an estate plan from LegalZoom? National Make-A-Will Month is right around the corner. LegalZoom, they're not a law firm, but they have a network of independent attorneys available in 50 states, and they can work with you on getting the right estate plan. Ask Garagus, who you're going to hear in about 10 seconds. He uses LegalZoom. It's not worth going to a guy like Garagus for this. They have brought the price way down. You don't want to get those billable hours. Look, so it includes a will or living trust. They'll provide specific advice or they'll address whatever your family's needs are. Plus, during National Make-A-Will Month, they're pulling helpful resources together all in one place to ensure your family and assets are protected. It's LegalZoom. Protect your assets. Gary.
Keep listening. We'll have more information in August. And to find out more now, check out LegalZoom.com for special offers that are coming your way. If you have a family or own anything you care about, you don't want to miss out. In the meantime, save more by entering doubt at checkout at LegalZoom.com, LegalZoom.com.
All right. We're about to jump on to our first town hall with Mark Garagus. It was a fun night. Booze was flowing. Lots of pretty ladies. I should tell you, the Improv Masterclass, Irvine Improv, 1 week from today, Saturday, August 5th. We'll be down there. It's going to be an all-day affair. Tickets at AdamCarolla.com. And if you want to listen to next week's Reasonable Doubt, God Sod. I think that's how you say his name. Anyway, the guy's brilliant. He'll be on. And go to CorollaDrinks.com. if you like, and check out all the live events coming up. Lynette will be there, the bands, the comedians, Dawson, Loxamana, everybody. So without any further ado, let's enjoy our first live town hall.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 10E in downtown Los Angeles, California, for tonight's Reasonable Doubt Town Hall. Please welcome Adam Carolla and Mark Garagus.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, mandate, get on. And thank you for coming out to Reasonable Doubt, our very first town hall with myself and the great one, Mark Garagus, over here.
Welcome. Welcome. We're here to also it's a double. We're celebrating OJ's parole.
You know, when good things happen to better people.
Right, exactly. They come in threes, like the number of cases or trials he's had.
I actually think prison has been good for him because he looks like he's dropped a few. He looks like he's well-sorted.
They say that the average NFL football player's life expectancy, believe it or not, is 55 years.
Right.
He's now 70. He looks better than he ever has. So, you know, there's something to be said for 9 years in prison. He says he hasn't had a drink in 9 years. Speaking of which, where is Alex? Alex, can you get the same thing that I'm drinking for Adam?
Yes.
Where is she?
Which is it's a finely filtered virgin's blood that most people think Mark drinks. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I like the idea. I like the idea that we've become such alcoholics that we just basically went, look, fuck doing shots, fuck mixing it with stuff. Let's just pour tumblers of tequila and just drink it that way.
So he's straight.
Yes, God bless us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you, Alex.
This is...
to you, to the Reasonable Doubt crowd.
Yes, thank you very much.
Best 2 hours in the universe.
Yes, there's... good news and bad news with drinking this much tequila. Good news is it kind of lightens me up, and you might hear some of my real views on some of the topics out there. Bad news is when we get to the bottom of the glass, I do 40 minutes on what's wrong with the Jews and how they're ruining this city of ours. That's the bad part. That's the negative part. But again, we're many sips away from that. All right, so... we'll take your questions, because after all, it is a town hall.
It's a town hall, right?
But
do we have somebody who goes into the audience? Is that Gary's role today? Really? Okay.
All right, so what is your... So my take on OJ is we don't like OJ. We don't like that he got away with murder. On the other hand, whatever crime he committed this time around by getting back some of his old memorabilia and... the lamp that was in the football helmet on the end table.
That also serves as an onion dip dispenser.
I always wanted that when I was a kid. There's right. two things I wanted as a kid. I wanted a race car bed, and I wanted a lamp that went through a football helmet.
Right.
That's how you knew you arrived when you were 11. The kid who had the lamp with the USC helmet and then the race car bed. Even though... We don't like OJ. I think we can agree that whatever he got was too much, and
For those who don't know, he was offered 2.5 years on that case. He could do 2.5, which means he would have done probably 18 months. Turned it down. He did not testify. Generally, in the criminal justice system, if you go to trial and testify, the judge can always hammer you because they'll say... You lied on the stand. You know, if you lose, you lied. If you win, you go home. But in this case, he got tax, tip, and service charge and got the 9 to 33 years. So it was clearly a prosecution by proxy. But interestingly, from my standpoint, I think the criminal jury got it right because it was beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think the prosecution just screwed it up. I think the civil jury got it right. It's a lower standard of proof. You have to testify. I mean, the Goldmans can call him as an adverse witness. So unlike a criminal case where he's got the protection of the Fifth Amendment, he does not have that in a civil case because you're fighting over money. And the standard is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's just more likely than not. So they got it right. And I think the parole board got it right today.
Could you imagine, though, if you said no to 30 months, which right. was offered,
right.
as soon as you hit that 31st month in the joint, every single second after that 30th month must have been insane because you had to go back and relive that moment where you were laughing, saying, that's an attack. What do you think? I'm an idiot. Only a fool would go for this. Please, that's an embarrassing offer. Literally did three times or more than three times
on the outside what he ever would have had to do, because there's other programs he could have been out in a year.
30 months would have been 18 months.
Correct. And then if he had taken one of the programs in prison, they would have let him out even earlier.
If you were his attorney and someone said 30 months and you said that's 18 months, OJ, would you have forced him or coerced him to take it?
I have a thing that when I get a deal for somebody and they turn it down because they know better, I make them sign what I call an idiot waiver. It's true, and I've got a collection of them. The idiot waiver is in their own handwriting. They have to write, my lawyer, who has been doing this for X amount of years, has told me that he's evaluated the case and that this is the best deal I'm ever going to get, and that he's told me I'm an idiot if I don't take this. And I promise not to write him letters from prison when I get more time. So that's I've got a collection of idiot waivers.
Wow. Yeah, you imagine his counsel told him to take it, right?
This is the problem he had. I mean, look, he had come off of, people forget, he had come off of the case in L.A., then he had moved to Florida after the civil trial. When he had the judgment, Florida has some very liberal laws as to the judgment. He gets to keep his pension. They can't touch the NFL pension, which is $27,000 a month, which is substantial. He can homestead the house. They can't take the house. While he was down there, Yale Galanter, who represented him in Vegas, represented him on a road rage case. And he was found not guilty on that case. He had had a road rage. People forget that. He brought Yale to try the case for him in Vegas, and I think he just thinks he was invincible. And then, you've seen what happened. No good deed goes unpunished because he did what's called a habeas petition accusing Yale, who had gotten him off on the case in Florida, of being incompetent on the case in Vegas.
He's a sweetheart. Yeah. I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it back to L.A. I have to be honest. Somebody asked me today on my podcast, what would you do if you saw O.J. in person, like you passed him on the street? And I have to admit, because I have almost no character, I'd probably go, what's up? And just keep walking. I don't think I would engage. I don't think I would critique.
I'd probably engage.
You would.
I would engage. I'd want to talk to him. I'd want to hear what he's thinking. I want to know if today when he was talking while they were deliberating, if he knew he was on a hot microphone. Because I don't know if you saw, but he was making some comments on the hot mic while they were deliberating. And I thought that was kind of humorous. And why the lawyer didn't slap him, I don't know.
Well, you know, our thing is the acronym is PAT. Pose a threat. Pat, I just want to know who poses a threat. And I came up with something today on my podcast that I thought I would share with you, which is we're always trying to figure out, is this guy dangerous? Are they going to commit more crimes? What should we do? Do they pose a threat to the community? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, your most famous Pat is the Menendez brothers.
Yes, they pose no threat to the community.
Because there's no more parents to shotgun.
And by the way, I have twins, and they're 11 years old, and while this is probably not in their future, it's certainly not off the menu. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I can't say with certainty that they're not going to do it. I can simply say there's a low percentage chance that they'll off me and Lynette with a shotgun, but
But you know, Lyle's parents probably thought the same thing as they were eating ice cream that evening.
You couldn't enjoy Haagen-Dazs if you thought any other way.
Right.
But the day, and this is many months away, but the day Natalia, I'm assuming she spearheads the thing.
Because it's a proven biological fact that girls develop faster than boys. And the boys' impulse control is not developed until they're 25.
Right.
So, and clearly, knowing Natalia, she would be the ringleader.
Right. So when Natalia comes into Sonny's room on a Friday night and says, hey, I was toying around with the idea of getting some 12-gauge shotguns and blowing away mom and dad Sunday night while they eat their ice cream and watch McMillan and Wife, are you in? If Sonny replies, what time Sunday? Because I'm playing tennis, not in the evening, but it is a late afternoon game. It means we did a bad job as parents.
You should have your head blown off.
Well, you do the math.
Yeah.
Whether it's nature or nurture, somebody did a bad job. So what I was thinking about with this pose a threat thing.
Right, Pat.
Pat, I have this simple test. Because look, I saw the faces of the people on the parole board. A lot of 20-watt bulbs in there.
How about the guy who was wearing the Kansas City Chiefs tie?
Yes.
Did you notice that? Did you see that guy? Why was the guy wearing a Kansas City Chiefs tie?
I know, but a lot of guys and gals that didn't look like they were fantastic in the decision-making department or the sussing out the humans and their motivation department. So my thing is, as we do this, we eliminate that. Every parole board, before they go into the room, when the parole board, and in my world, there will be no one in that room. There'll be a separate room filled with cameras that are hidden.
Right.
And the guy will be there, and he'll be sitting down, and he'll be there with another guy. That'll be a plant. That guy will be another guy who's going up for parole. Okay?
Oh, okay.
He's a plant. Next to him will be the guard that this guy hates the most. The guard that gave him the most trouble ever. The guy who rode him like a wet donkey stepson red-headed mule. I think I took a few and combined them there. But the point is he will be there too. He will pull out his baton. He'll set it next to him on the bench, and he'll proceed to doze off. He'll slide his cap, as only cops can do, where they take the cap and they slide it. That hat was built for dozing. And they'll doze off and they'll slide it. The one guy who works for the parole board, who's the plant, who's the man on the inside, will say to the potential parolee, listen, I'm a lifer. I'm never getting out of here. I do this every 7 years. We talk, and then I go right back to the hole. I know you hate this MF-er. I'll tell you what. Take his nightstick. Give him a crack as hard as you can across the temple. And as soon as you're done, just hand me the nightstick, and I'll say, I did it. And you'll go to freedom knowing that you're able to take this piece of hickory upside this asshole's temple just once. And what do I care? I'm going back to the hole anyway. And when the guy goes, give me that nightstick, end of parole. Right? I've changed my ways. Yeah, the guy gave me a hard time when we were in the joint, but I've now found Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to being reunited with my adult children. Then he gets to go. Okay. We don't even have to have the meeting.
It's funny you mention that, because on the hot mic today, one of the names that OJ mentioned was the guard who wrote the book about him. And was still, he mentions Trump, Mike Tyson, and the guard. So I don't know what, that's kind of a bizarre combination, but this guard apparently is in for it.
Well, don't you feel like everyone lands somewhere between Trump and Mike Tyson? Like even the unborn? Who amongst us could say we're outside of either one of these two human life forms? Everybody, including the ladies in this room who walk the planet, land in between those two.
Mike is a client, so I zealously defend him. Trump, not
Mike's
so much.
Mike's a client. He keeps his nose clean. He's never gotten any scrapes with the... Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Hey, on a Tyson... Now, I only speculate about Tyson, although I interviewed him at his house in Henderson.
He's moved. He's got a new house.
Bigger?
Much bigger.
Oh, good. Because the last one was not. Well, the problem with Mike Tyson is he's living in 4,600 square foot in Henderson, and it's a perfectly nice home, except for every human being who walks in it goes, this is where Mike Tyson lives? Where are the Bengal Tigers? And it's like, well, it's a swimming pool and a nice gazebo
and
all anyone did was... What's he doing here? And it's like, it's a nice house.
Mike Tyson...
He's a black man who gets punched in the head. Why should he be happy with
probably made conservatively, because when I started to represent him, he was already in bankruptcy court. He'd been in bankruptcy court for 8 years. They were billing him away, the lawyers, the accountants, the trustee, and everybody else. And they had entered a deal with the IRS, who he owed at the time, I think when he hired me, $37.5 million. And his deal with the IRS was that he could keep the first $200,000 he earns. He still have to pay his 40% taxes or whatever.
Right.
But then everything he earned over that $203,000, 100% went to the IRS. That was how he paid. That was supposed to pay it off. Now, guess what happened for 8 years? Mike never earned more than $203,000 to the penny,
Sure.
As soon as he hit that, it was, I'm done. I'm not working for the man anymore.
Right.
So we extricated him from that, got a release from the IRS, got him out of bankruptcy.
How much did he love that word, extricate?
So I'm then watching a documentary that another client made, Welcome to My Life, which was Chris Brown's documentary.
Right.
Okay. And they interview various people about Chris's ups and downs. And full disclosure, obviously, I've represented him for years. But they interview Mike Tyson in this. And if you haven't seen the documentary, it's definitely worth going online and getting. Because you watch Tyson in this thing, and he's like the Oracle of Vegas. You know, the Oracle of Omaha is Warren Buffett. But this is the Oracle. All of a sudden, Mike Tyson has become the wisest guy in the room. And I don't know when that happened, but it's happened. Mike Tyson is clearly head and shoulders above anybody that you ever want to meet.
Yeah.
His insight, he's astute. And by the way, he makes a ton more than $203,000 a year now.
I had a funny, now I'm having a recollection about interviewing Mike in his home. That's making me smile. So I interviewed Tyson when they made that documentary about Tyson's life. Do they make documentaries about white people anymore? Jesus Christ. There's plenty of interesting ones around. I should know. Check the mirror. So they did the Tyson documentary. I don't know. Was it just called Tyson or something? It was a very interesting documentary. It's about 6-7 years old.
Right.
And I saw him 8 years ago, and he wasn't moving well, and he was heavy, and he was sort of shuffling around like an old blues singer and stuff like that. And then I went to his house in Henderson, and I interviewed him, and he seemed like a new man.
Right.
And I said, what is going on? I saw you 7-8 years ago. You seemed depressed, and now you're light on your feet. You're smiling. You're having a good time. He said, I lost a bunch of weight. I'm working out all the time, and I stopped doing drugs. I'm clean. No drugs. Nothing. And I said, so nothing. Nothing anymore? No. No cocaine. No cocaine. No speed. No heroin. No, nothing. No pills. No, nothing. Booze. No, not at all. Pot? Whoa, slow down. It was like he had to correct me when I said pot. He's like, whoa.
Being Mike Tyson, though, is the most amazing thing. We had a mediation a couple of years ago, and so my office is around the corner at the engine company. And back then, the JAMS, which is Judicial Arbitration Mediation, was down on Wilshire. And so we walked, he and Kiki, his wife, and I walked from engine company over to just the four blocks to the then Aon building where JAMS was. And you've never seen anything like the reaction of the public when he's in public. People stop their cars. They honk. They jump out. They want to do selfies. I've never been around anybody who's had that kind of adulation. And I'm telling you, I've been out. Michael Jackson was kind of on his downturn by the time I got him. But Tyson was a public figure of the level that I've never seen.
Is there a guy more recognizable under 6 foot?
No, clearly.
Because I've you know, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar thing is easier. Magic Johnson, the first thing catchy is like, who's that guy? And then this is who it is. Tyson is 5'11 and gets stopped every 4 foot.
For guys our age, I don't know, and there's a bunch of guys our age here. There is, I mean, think about it. You remember the Leon Spinks fight? Do you remember some of the other fights where it was just you get together, there'd be 10 guys in the living room, and you would be betting on whether the guy would survive a round against him, right?
Right.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was a force of nature.
And he was great for the post-fight interview, because at the interview at the end, he would always say something that was entertaining.
Right.
I think on the Spinks fight, he said he knew he had him in trouble when he punched him in his equilibrium. And the great news is no one ever wants to correct Mike Tyson.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do? No, that's the wrong word.
And he's sort of right. We should have an equilibrium.
Right.
And if so, it should be targeted
by
Mike Tyson.
And if so, I'm going to knock the shit out of your equilibrium. Right.
All right. Do we have questions here tonight? We have a microphone set up there, but we have a super lethargic people who don't want to man the microphones. So
Remember, I think you guys get, what, 2 drink tickets? So that's why you're kind of, okay, got it.
Mike just walked right past the fella with the question. Yes.
So I don't know if you heard or not, but the Los Angeles and Paris have both been awarded the Olympics for 2024 and 2028. And I wanted to know, they don't know which one is going to get which yet. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but I want to know what you guys think about how that will impact Los Angeles with traffic and homelessness. And should we get O.J. Simpson to light the torch again?
Oh.
That's a good memory.
In 84, I was working, doing a home remod. The very first construction job I had was in Silver Lake, up on the hill. In 84 was my first construction job, and running down Hyperion and carrying the torch was O.J., and we watched from the balcony, from the porch of the house we were working on. And I turned to one of my coworkers. I said, "Mark my words, that guy's going to attempt to behead someone who's 3 years old right now, one day, and Trump's going to be president." Those are my two announcements I made. Hand of God. Google it. Google that shit. Hand of God. Just Google it. Look it up.
So I was working downtown. I was already a lawyer for a couple of years in 84. And everybody, the big panic was the traffic. The traffic. Well, what they didn't count on is that in L.A., 10% or 20% of the people just left town. And traffic was a dream. It was almost like it was a Jewish holiday.
Yep.
I mean, it was, you could get anywhere in town in no time whatsoever, because you take 20% of the people off the roads.
And anytime you can get rid of 20% of the Jews. Oh wait, is that?
You haven't finished the drink yet.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't mind Jews, but 100% Jews is a lot of Jews. If we could thin the Jew herd a little bit, perhaps that's a sore subject. Okay, let's move on. Crime. All right, I had a thought. I had this thought some years ago, which, as it pertains, you brought up the Olympics and L.A. and homelessness. Tell me what you guys think of this. We get our asses kicked in the bobsled competition every year, and we shouldn't. We have the best athletes in the world, and the 4-man bobsled team is simply you running your ass off for 8.5 steps and then jumping into the thing.
Push.
The guy in the lead, that guy has to steer. The guy in the back, he's the brake man. The two guys in the middle run as hard as they can for 8 steps, jump in, and then attempt to blow themselves. That's all they do is run, suck, and then we're done. That's what the guys in the middle do, and yet the Hungarian team kicks our ass every year. Why? We have the best technology, we have the best athletes, and yet we can't figure out a way to get this toboggan down the flume faster. But I got a plan.
Well, I was just going to say, let me guess, you got a solution.
Take out their ribs, right, so they can suck their own dicks?
Yeah,
Marilyn Manson style.
Or we could stretch the dick. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not going to speed you up. Right, that's stupid. Okay, they're not all great ideas, but here's what I want to say. We get our ass kicked every year because we simply can't get these guys to move this toboggan for the 6.5 steps they get fast enough to beat the Yugoslavian team. Yet, back to the homeless, you drive up Laurel Canyon, I'll see a homeless guy with a wagon train of 15 shopping carts passing cars just all day, every day, training at altitude. This isn't a seasonal thing either. These guys never stop. Weekends, Jewish holidays, just trucking. Let's get those homeless guys into that unitard and get them pushing that toboggan. So what? One of the guys is smoking as he's going. Like, he killed the aerodynamic coefficient because he was trying to light what was left of a Tipperillo. But get the homeless on the toboggan team. Now, look.
There you go. See? Reasonable doubt town hall. There you go.
They've got that heroin thinness, so they'd be light.
They're thin. Yeah. They pull like pack animals. And you know what I mean. You can feed them a handful of kibble, and they're good. Okay, the endorsement deals probably aren't going to be rolling in, but who knows? We might find a human interest story in there. Could right. catch
you could,
fire.
You could do something. I could see it.
Yeah.
So did that answer the question?
I want to know what you think about how it's going to impact the homelessness. I mean, do you think we'll actually get rid of a lot of... I mean, downtown especially, but I mean, it's starting to creep out to other areas. I went down to... happened to be down in South Central the other day, and there were no homeless people down there. I don't know what's going on that
in South Central?
Yeah.
You don't know someone you can buy drugs from in the La Cañada area? You have to go all the way down to... Mark can hook you up. You don't have to risk your life and your reputation going down there with those people. You drive an Audi S7. What are you doing?
You just happened to be down there.
I just happened to be down there, and I noticed. I'm going, this looks clean. It looks way cleaner than like the Valley does.
I have a plan for the homeless population that I don't think I've ever shared with you.
I want to hear it, because you know I rail about the homeless.
Well, all we do is talk about the insane homeless population that we have in this city.
By the way, when you leave tonight, go into the alley. You can see, I always talk on Reasonable Doubt about Dr. Alien. He was there when I came in today. So he's there in the alley, guarding the back of the garage.
We always talk about that. He's not a real doctor like a physician. It's more like Dr. J or Dr. Hook or that kind of doctor, right?
Dr. Dre, no.
Dr. Dre, like that kind of doctor. But my plan is we have two problems. We have a problem with the homeless all over the place. And then our second problem is we don't have a police presence. You know, they're in their squad cars, but they're not walking the beat. They're not part of the community. There's not a presence. Give the homeless people cop uniforms. It'll look to people like there's just cops everywhere. Sure, it'll be confusing for like a tourist for like that cop's throwing up in a dumpster. He just smoked a cigarette he found on the ground. But either way, don't commit any crime here. There's literally cops everywhere. They're sleeping on the sidewalks. They're piled like cordwood. Like you'd be a fool to commit a crime here.
You know, you may be onto something.
Don't mess with Garrigus's office. The entire alley is teeming with the fuzz.
Nothing but cops.
Yeah. The one guy's, he's arguing with a Sterno can, but...
Why is that cop on the cardboard mat?
Right. I'm just saying, give them the uniforms, let them run wild.
That probably beats the hell out of the having a bond measure constructing more affordable housing, because we all know that it's affordable housing that is the real issue.
Hold on.
Right?
No, the high cost of living.
Right, right.
Because... when you ask a homeless guy why he's on the street, he says, you know how much a head of lettuce costs? And I'm not even talking about Sprouts or Gelson's. I'm talking about Ralph's and Lucky's. No, that's why I'm here, because a dozen eggs and a gallon of gas.
It has nothing to do with mental health. It has everything to do with how much it costs.
Yes, and imagine how much it would impact me if I owned a car, this gallon of gas. All right, next question. Thank you.
My question's kind of... about the homeless. I don't know why we can't like put them all in a Greyhound bus and like ship them to New York and get rid of them all.
You know, well, they used to have a thing in Florida called a floater. And if you got convicted of a quality of life crime, they would give you, they'd let you plead, and then they would defer sentencing, and they'd give you a bus ticket out of town. And if you left, if you got on the bus and you left the state, then you would never get sentenced. That was it. It was called a floater, and that was your idea. That was Florida.
That's a slippery slope, though, because when I was in charge,
you'd want to do that with Lynette on occasion.
Oh no, I wouldn't.
And Paulette's laughing in the back.
I wouldn't do that with Lynette, but I'll tell you. In terms of quality of life, like if I saw an adult putting ketchup on a hot dog or not melting cheddar cheese when they were making nachos, instead putting Velveeta, I would look at that as a serious quality of life issue.
It's part of the broken windows theory
any
of crime.
Any guy over 19 wearing shants who wasn't a rodeo clown.
Over 30 on Facebook.
I would have issues, and they'd be on the bus with the homeless guy.
Well, I don't mind that, though.
I don't mind that either. We're just thinning the herd. Yeah, yes, we have a question over here, so says Mike August.
Just to continue on the homeless conversation, what about that lawsuit, I suppose I heard, where the city of L.A. lost when a bunch of lawyers used as a defense the American Disabilities Act to clear out homeless encampments in Van Nuys because they were impeding wheelchair access? Why do we do that?
The problem is that with the homeless, in my humble opinion, having to try to train them around here because it's become absolutely intractable, is that it's clearly a mental health issue. It has nothing to do, I mean, Adam and I joke about it, but it's most of these guys and the few women who are out here are demonstrably challenged when it comes to mental health. And there's no mental health safety net system. In fact, if you talk to the cops around here, the cops will say that at least when they were in jail, they would get three meals and they would do the medication. But that,
I don't want to correct you, but that wasn't a cop. That was a homeless
guy. That was
a
homeless guy.
It's part of a pilot program. I gave a couple of uniforms out just to see how it would go. Evidently, it's effective.
It worked.
You're a high-powered attorney, and you couldn't tell the difference.
Exactly. So
the fact that he asked you for change wasn't a tell.
I just thought that was LAPD wanting a bribe.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I was reading somebody tweeted me an article on it, and I've always said this. It's actually everything just sort of leads back to the family and the family unit. This notion that these people are just sort of magically homeless. I mean, could you imagine Tenny or Jake or Sonny or Natalia being homeless? It would not happen because they have parents who would never let that happen to them. You might banish Jake to one of the wings of the house. You may say you've lost your library privileges.
Right.
You can go to the library, but you can't go on the ladder with the wheels. That's your form of a timeout. That's a first world timeout.
Right.
That's a rich white guy timeout. But the bottom line is the last defense between homeless and living on a sofa is the parents. And they say the largest and fastest growing population from this article I just read was 18 to 24. So these are a bunch of kids, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, whatever, that are homeless because they never had a home to begin with. The home's fractured. The dad's, I don't know where. He's with OJ. He's going to be in a foursome with OJ. Which, by the way, sounds...
That's golf.
Yeah, it's golf. But it could go an ugly direction as well. But the point is it is the family. We want to talk about mental issues. We want to talk about high cost of living. We want to talk about rent control, affordable housing. It all is nonsense when you think about the family. If the family is intact, if the mom and the dad are sane, are employable, have a couple of brain cells to rub together and a couple of shekels to rub together, it's impossible for your 18-year-old kid to become homeless. That's it. Where's Lynette's here somewhere, right? There she is. Lynette's brother has schizophrenia. and he would be homeless, except for Lynette comes from an intact family who has decided to rally around the brother and create a garage apartment. And older brother Dean has a place, built a garage apartment, and now Dave, who would be homeless, lives with Dean because his brother, his parents before they were deceased, took care of, now Lynette and myself to some degree, take care of this family member and will not permit him to be homeless. If everyone just did that, we would not have a homeless problem. Thank you for your applause. Next question.
Wow, that was...
Hey, guys, thanks for coming out and giving us the greatest 4 hours of the week.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank Loxie. They were great tonight.
Loxie was great. Give them a hand.
They keep getting better. One day they'll get good enough for me to watch them.
No, I recommend it. It was
yeah,
great.
I'll have my nurse bring me into the building and just kind of get me situated. I'll be in a house coat.
But we'll rally around it.
We'll rally around, yes. Yes.
Ace Man, I'd like to thank you for once again winning the Corolla Digital Employee of the Month Award.
Oh, yeah, I win every year.
Wait, who names the person?
It's me. Well, why shouldn't I be? You should do that at the law firm.
What do you think? Employee of the Month, me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
except,
let's do that.
You notice that's my team over there. They're all going, yeah, Mark. We don't ever see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I win. I win as much as Oprah is on the cover of her magazine. How much I win.
Wait, do you put your picture up for Employee of the Month? Because I've never seen it.
Well, we did for the first like 37 months, and then it got kind of redundant.
And then it could have been 9 years.
Yeah. So we just kind of backed off. And same with the parking spot. But go ahead.
And
the quarterly reviews, which are always, you know, nobody reviews me like me. I mean, that's some of the best 45 minutes of me time I ever get. But go ahead.
No, I'm very curious if either of you saw and what your thoughts are on the recent video of a floral engineer being taken down by I'm all for it.
There's a video where there's a sort of Latina lady who's sort of built like a bumble. She bounces, you know. And there's a CHP guy who, God bless him, is telling her to fill out a citation or to stop selling stuff. Because, look, here's the whole thing. I don't like the man any more than the next guy. But on the other hand, we have done this thing where we live in this sort of lawless community, and I'll give you the best example I can give you.
Did you call her a floral engineer?
Floral engineer.
Yes. She was
Paulette's in the back there. Paulette is a floral engineer.
Yeah. She was probably an illegal selling flowers, I think it was outside of a high school graduation.
Like we always talk about at Forest Lawn.
Yeah, the greatest example of our system is the following. If you go down Forest Lawn Drive in Studio City, Toluca Lake area, if you go down Forest Lawn Drive, and I used to commute when I lived up in Hollywood Hills and I worked in Glendale, I'd go down Forest Lawn every single day, multiple times a day. As you head toward Glendale, if you'd look up the driveway by the Jewish cemetery, there would be a cop on a motorcycle with a radar gun ready to hand out tickets to everyone who was going faster than the posted speed limit. Right. And everyone was going faster because there's no cross streets. There's no signals. The worst thing that could happen is like grandpa's urn could roll down the hill and dent the side of your Denali. So people do what people do, which is we don't sit around and stare at numbers. We drive when it's safe to drive at the speed we think it's safe to drive. That guy's up top giving tickets to all the taxpayers and all the soccer moms and everyone else. Across the street is a small group of illegal gypsies selling flowers. And not only that, generally making a mess. Like the flowers all come in big boxes from the flower mart and everything. The city is in sort of denial, which is if you're, it's sort of like a clean needle exchange program. Like, look, understand what's going on and put some goddamn trash cans there. They don't understand what's going on. They don't admit. To put trash cans there would be to admit
there's
that
a problem,
you're letting
right.
illegal activity go on across the street. So you provide no receptacles. There's busted lawn furniture. There's boxes everywhere. There's fast food wrappers everywhere. On the other side of the street, there's a soccer mom getting a ticket in a minivan for going 7 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit, which was set in 1941, by the way, before anti-lock brakes and crumple zones and airbags. So what is the city doing? Well, Mike calls, and Mike knows it well, which is the guys on the other side of the street are called empty bags. They don't have any money. The guy who is the law-abiding person who pays the taxes, who's driving the van, has money to pay the fine, so the cops go after those people, which is exactly what you don't want your police force doing. This guy finally decided to do something and found the illegal who was selling... you can't say illegal. Illegal Mexican, who was selling... This is all the politically correct people. I don't want to get in trouble at the HuffPo.
Wait a second. I got in trouble today.
Did you know the end of the story, though? Did you see the footage?
Yeah.
So he's telling her, Phil, and she won't do anything, and she's walking away, and she's wrestling with him, and eventually he just tosses her onto the lawn. Big fucking whoop.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know this today. I learned something new. On live TV today, I said the term that they've gone off the reservation. How did I not know? Where was I when that memo came out? You can't say off the reservation. I said off the reservation on CNN today, and I was excoriated. I mean, the producer's yelling in my ear that you can't say that. They're tweeting at me. Some guy tweeted at me in 2017, you're still saying off the reservation. Who are you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Couple things. I realize that we're probably...
But I like the term.
I like it, too.
It's very descriptive. Somebody, and I forget who it was today, but somebody was very astute. They said, did you think that you woke up this morning and said, you know what? I want to slam Native Americans. I've decided today's the day. There's been too much focus on OJ and black crime. I'm going to bring Native Americans into this discussion, and I'm going to use the term off the reservation because that is what I want to do.
They're treating that like it's a felony, but I feel like I could have chewed them down to a misdemeanor. No, I mean it. I'm not. That's lawyer talk, but yeah. I like to impress Mark with my lawyer talk every once in a while. But yes, I think we're going to live it. I think pretty soon you're not going to be able to say, I have a couple projects in the pipeline.
No, you can't say pipeline.
The anti-fracking group is going to be very upset about this pipeline, and it's going through the indigenous people's land and all that. No, Matt Damon would not like you talking about projects in the pipeline. It'll be Hopper from this day forth.
I also did not know until last year. I'm a slow learner. That you can't say gypped. Did you know you can't say I got gypped? Because gyp is a form of gypsy, and that is a derogatory statement.
Tell them, go on CNN tomorrow and tell them you're going to redact your statement about off the reservation, thus making you an Indian giver. Thank you.
Wow. Now that's good. Give him a hand.
Yes. And now just the Native Americans in the crowd. What? Yeah.
Came out of mothballs.
Oh, yeah. Wait till I get drunk. All right. Who's got another question?
Next question. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a new PSA campaign on billboards, on buses that say bus operator assault is a crime.
I do like
those.
Have you
seen that? You talk about indicators in this city. What do you think this is a new indicator
of? I like the tells, which is, again, the very first day somebody said, we need to get some razor wire and put it around the freeway signs. Somebody should have stopped and said, hold on. This is... It's like it's that moment where, you know, the junkie finds himself busting his kid's piggy bank open on Tuesday at 4 p.m, and the kid's standing in the hallway with a single tear dripping down the eye. And this guy's in his underpants and one black sock, and he's sweating profusely. And you look up and you see yourself in the mirror with pictures of you and your daughter tucked into it, and you have that moment. That's what the fucking mayor should have had the day he said, we got to put barbed wire around the freeway sign. It's like, whoa, hold on. As a city, you got to take a good long look in the mirror. And yeah, the stuff we have, you go to Kirkland, Washington. Has anyone, anyone's been to Kirkland? That's everything out of Costco is made in Kirkland, Washington.
Really?
Yes. Actually, that's why it's all Kirkland brand. So good that you don't know that.
I didn't know that.
That you're perfect. No, that's good.
Kirkland off the reservation and gypped. It's the trifecta.
I love you don't know that. Like, I love, like, every single politician who they go, sir, do you even know how much a gallon of milk costs? He should go, fuck no, I don't. I fly privately. I'm independently wealthy, and I'm doing huge deals all over the fucking world. That's for somebody else. Like, the idea that you don't know what Kirkland products are is a good thing.
Okay, good. All right. Good. I like that.
They make almonds. They make tools. They make everything.
There's now a Kirkland car.
There's Kirkland car. Everything,
there's a Kirkland car. Chevy Kirkland.
Everything that is in Costco comes out of Kirkland, Washington. And Kirkland, Washington is the greatest place ever because...
What is the demographic in Kirkland, Washington?
White and whiter. White and opaque.
Translucent.
Translucent. Yeah.
Translucent is the
country. Mike lied to me and said I was doing a bunch of gigs in Seattle. What he didn't tell me is we were doing a bunch of gigs 20 miles outside of Seattle.
County of Seattle.
In Kirkland, Washington.
Oh, the county of Seattle was close.
In a converted Pizza Hut. There's nothing worse than doing stand-up when you're standing on a 22-inch riser and your head is hitting the ceiling. That's a bad club.
But it was only three shows a night.
Yeah, we did three 100-minute shows in a row. I think we sold out six shows in a row, two nights, set some sort of record for being greedy or something. But the
eating
point
pizza.
Is, we had all day after doing three shows Friday night and having three shows to do Saturday night, Mike and I had all day to putz around Kirkland. I thought I was going to be in Seattle, but
right.
I was in Kirkland.
You said you went to Kirkland.
So there's nothing in Kirkland. But we walked around, and we happened upon flags that they kept at every intersection. It's a 18-inch by half-inch dowel with an orange flag on it. And I said to Mike, what the hell is this for? And it's for crossing the street. You walk, you hold it up, you walk to the other side, and you replace it in the receptacle there. And I said to Mike, like, if this is L.A.
That puts some poor crossing guard out of work.
They would be using these things for crack pipes. You'd see guys would sharpen them. They'd be sword fighting in the middle of the street. 10 minutes after these things were put in place, you'd see homeless guys walk around in full suits, knitted from dental floss out of the flags, patched together. But
we actually stole one. Remember, we brought one home.
I took one home, yeah. This is the only... Now, actually, you know what Kirkland should make for Costco? Kirkland. They should actually... I should be able to go to Costco. If you're in L.A., you should be able to Costco. I want to buy Kirkland. I'm putting it in downtown. So
remember the bike program? The free bike program?
Oh, they had free bikes.
You just take a bike.
Free flags.
Ride it around town. Put it back in the rack.
They had everything. And you actually had your own volunteer assigned to you just to ask you if you've lost weight. It's that good a town. Just a guy walking behind you. Have you lost weight? Maybe
for the
riding
women,
the free bike is lost. Yeah. Something. You look younger. I don't know what it is.
Was it Kirkland where we had the well-dressed homeless guy, or was that Portland?
Portland was the well-dressed homeless guy.
Yeah, yeah,
Portland was the guy with the Izod and the popped collar who came up to me. He's like, hey, man, you got a buck? And I was like, no, I don't know. Why, you need another? Why, you have to go La Tigre now? Or is it, you're falling on hard times. He's got to go La Tigre. Can't go Izod anymore. hat. And he has like popped collar, 40-year-old guy, looked like he worked out, came up to me and he's like, hey man, you got it? And he was like, oh, hey, man show. Hey, Adam Carolla, big fan. I was like, well, you have enough money for basic cable.
The best looking homeless guy I've ever seen.
That was Portland.
Yeah.
And
Bubblers.
Bubblers.
Remember the Bubbler?
Do you guys know in Portland they have drinking fountains that never stop going?
They're Bubblers?
Yeah. They're like G.I. Joe's car hit a miniature fire hydrant. they literally just bubble. Water down the drain, 24/7, in like one of the most politically correct, environmentally correct, whatever tree-hugging environments in the world. Portland, Oregon, on every corner is a drinking fountain that never stops, and it goes right down into the ocean.
Well, we asked why, and they're like, these are a holdover from horses. We used to water the horses with them 150 years ago, but they just keep them in place. I guess they have so much water, they just keep them.
No, you know what the story was?
No.
The story, Mike, pay attention when we have these little brushes with the local color. The story in Portland is that a super rich, crazy woman basically gave an endowment of millions of dollars.
Yes.
See, this is what?
This is Portland.
Lynette, Paulette, are you listening? Your job is to outlive us by 13 years when we've amassed such a fortune that you can do insane things with our money. I'd like to be buried in a Lamborghini.
Right. Look at Lynette's already planning this.
Right. So this crazy crazy woman who had a ton of money left to her from her husband who kicked off, probably in the arms of a prostitute, said, I will give this city $10 million. You never shut these bubblers off. And they never have. But Kirkland, Washington has flags for crossing the street. We have signs that say no human trafficking, which I always enjoy. I don't know how big an impact that has. Remember that
most
time?
Most guys who are thinking about human trafficking are deterred by that.
Yeah.
It's a very strong deterrence. I was thinking of human trafficking until I saw the sign.
Yeah, you know criminal law pretty well. You know how effective a swatch of vinyl can be.
Exactly.
Right. No serial killing.
Right, exactly. Click it or ticket.
Yes. No, Lynette will tell you that she was dropping me off at the airport some months back, and we got behind a municipal vehicle. I was running late doing a show in Chicago, but I saw the bumper sticker, no human trafficking, and I said, screw this, take me to the warehouse district. And I kicked in some doors and asked some pretty hard-hitting questions. Pretty hard-hitting questions. I wanted to get to the bottom of this. So, yeah, we have end senior abuse, no human trafficking. What was the latest super most depressing one?
Operator assault.
Right.
And this is what I've never understood.
If you're driving in a municipal bus and you come up behind the bus driver and you put a hefty bag over his head and try to choke him out with your belt, that's bad? That's just the notion that we need.
Well, there's
to
already
say that.
There's already an assault crime on the books, so 242, or if it's a deadly weapon or force likely, it's a 245. Why do we have to include the bus driver? Why are we singling him out?
Well, evidently, we have such an issue with our mass transit system that this is happening again and again. The biggest assault to me and the biggest crime to me personally is I don't like the bike rack in front of the bus. You pick a mode of transportation, douche, not both. You either stay on that goddamn Huffy until you get to rehab or the soup kitchen or grandma's house. Don't use my form of transportation with yours because it takes 20 minutes for that asshole to load up his bike and then unload the goddamn bike. You could have covered 28 city blocks by then. And again, which is it? Are you motivated or are you lazy? Which is it? You're on a bike. Sorry, yes. Oh, we got a question. Mike, I was on a jag. Come on, you don't stop me.
I know.
I was on a goddamn roll.
Mike's like the damn towel.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for being here. Huge pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
My question is about traffic. I don't know if you heard about Elon Musk. He has a new company, ironically called The Boring Company, which he proposes to dig tunnels under the city to solve the traffic problems. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Have you been on, what's the street right here? What is that, Hope?
Right Hope here? Street, yeah.
Yeah, go up Hope Street when you leave here tonight and take a look at what's going on there when they're trying to drill down underneath the street to do the subway, and you'll realize what a disaster that is.
Hold on. I saw Ocean's 11. It's not that big a deal. One black guy with a Cockney accent can get this whole thing done. That was my favorite part about this movie. Hey, the tunneling device that drilled the tunnel broke down. We got to get the other one. The other one? From inside, from under... From underneath the channel, somewhere between France and England, that one? You want to flatbed that thing out here? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, I get it. I believe everything that's happening in this movie. Yes.
Wait, is that Lynette asking a question?
I heard one of the tunnels is already done, the Elon Musk tunnels. I heard...
Is it?
Top secret tech guys say it's already done.
Elon says the first one's just for his wine collection.
All right, producer Gary and
wait, is Gary gonna? Dylan, Gary's gonna look it
they
up.
They both say it's done.
I've read that as well.
So,
and he just today came out and proposed a new one that goes that is going to go on the East Coast, and
right,
he's saying
New York
he's going
to
put
to DC
in 29 minutes.
Yeah, in 29 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I think this
I've
is.
Also, I've also heard that electrodes have been implanted in the brain that are affected by low-flying aircraft. So I'm
Okay. All right, Mr. Gear. But Mark, can you find out if it really is done? Because from I'm hearing, intel,
ask Chris Brown. He's got his finger on the pulse of all this stuff.
I'm going to guarantee you that there's no top secret boring project that has happened.
Okay.
I think it was all a computer rendered whatever. I don't think they exist yet. But listen, I love Elon doing it. Plus, here's a added perk. When Korea nukes us, it'll be a place for us to go and congregate. We'll start a whole new civilization of kids who can't tolerate the sunlight. The mole people. Yeah, I saw a whole special. Somebody tweeted me a whole thing on traffic and how it worked, and it's 100% accurate because the guy had an English accent.
Right, because that gives him that gives him a veneer of credibility.
Totally 1,000% true, and adding lanes does not stop the traffic.
Right.
Adding money solves the traffic. So when they were doing a thing about, you know, the circle and the traffic and whatever country they were in, charge everyone $1 for going inside the city limits, it impacts it dramatically. I have been saying on Loveline for a million years, true, I will pay $10 a gallon for gas. And then everyone says, well, what a douchey, elitist thing to say. And I go, all right. And then we take another call. But
but it's true.
No,
it,
I said,
it is a douchey thing.
No, for 20 years, I said, charge me $10 a gallon for gas. Now, here's what we're going to do. Gas is, at the time, was $1.50 or $2 a gallon, right, but let's just call it $3 a gallon. All right, now you have $7 a gallon to play with times a lot of people who value their time.
Right.
Okay? Now, we're going to take that $7, and I'm going to buy a fleet of vans. We're going to have van pools. We will pick you up from your home. Person who is sort of working poor, Los Angeles, the amount of money it costs to keep a car up, maintenance, especially these guys, they're not driving new cars with unlimited mileage and blah, blah. This is maintenance, fuel, insurance, parking is a big issue around here. Citations, tickets, fines, whatever, all the expenses. That I will take this $7. I will have a team of vans. They will come to your home. They will pick you up, low-cost, low-income person who can't afford $7 or $10 a gallon, and they will take you to work and back every day. You will save $1,500 a month just on this expense, and I will have open highways.
Wow.
Thank you.
Lynette has
and
another question.
If you would like to drive, simply pay $10 a gallon. It will force people out of Denali's into more fuel-efficient cars. It'll force people to just drive when they need to drive. It'll force all the things we want you to do, you will do with this. We can put $7 into the vans. We can put the other whatever into the roads. We can put it all in there.
You mean we would fix potholes?
Yes, and who amongst us
would not spend, even though it sounds insanely expensive, you live, like, as the crow flies from where you work, you live 6.2 miles. The fuel cost is not your cost at all.
Right.
It costs you 57 cents or $1.28 to make it to work. So what if it cost you $11? That's not the point. The point is getting to work and getting back. It's your time. Gargos gouges, sorry, charges. It sounds, it's so close.
I would pass the savings on to the consumer.
He charges, yes, for what you make an hour, you'd be a fool right. not to do it at 25 bucks a gallon.
Exactly.
Thank I'm you.
Lynette has another question.
Thank you.
Is everyone enjoying their mangria?
Oh, yeah.
In this rant? All right.
Stop talking.
That kind of trips into your gold hat theory. Remember your gold hat theory that you should wear a gold hat based on the taxes you pay?
Oh, really? Yeah, I do. I do like my gold hat theory.
You got to tell them.
I like my windbreaker theory better.
What's that one?
Huh?
What's the windbreaker one?
The one where everyone measures their penis and then gets a number on their back. I won't do it in front of polite company, but Mike, you really shouldn't have asked. I've told you my theory on that. We've driven home from Irvine 200 times. Every time, that's all true. I tell you is my windbreaker theory.
That's right.
Yes, I would like to be in some sort of emperor's club or something when it comes to, not with the ladies, but with the driving.
Speaking of which, we've got an exotic car out here that we're going to raffle, right?
Nice segue,
that's
yes.
kind of the gold hat club, right?
Is that a 458 or 488?
There's a, I think it's a 458. Where's the exotic car guy? Where is he? Okay,
Wait a minute, hold on. Let me find the guy with the douchiest loafers.
Yeah.
No need looking for him. I'll find the guy with the powder blue suede loafers and no socks, and that'll be our car guy.
Okay, car
All
guy.
Right, hold on. Let me see the shows. Let's see the shoes.
You notice the difference between Adam and I?
Semi-douchey loafers. Come up here. Let me see. Pull off one of those shoes. Pop a shoe. Pop a shoe, car guy.
God, he did nail you. He nailed you.
Pop one.
What if he had talked about the shirt?
Take one of the loafers off. Let me examine the loafer.
But wait, you know the difference between you and me? You focused on the Ferrari.
Okay, hold on. We have a fairly douchey loafer here. It's a 7.5 in the loafer douche. But if you were to say to me, who is the car guy, I wouldn't look anyone in the eye. I would just walk around. Douchey loafer, douchey, semi-douchey. This guy likes cars. Douchey, here we are. Here's the car guy. All right, sorry. Thank you. It's why you should always stereotype. You need to stereotype. Sorry.
But I'm going to stereotype. You focused on the Ferrari immediately.
Yes. Because
you're the white guy
right.
from the Valley.
That's right.
So the Ferrari is what you focused on. I'm the Armo. You know what I focused on?
G-Wagon.
The G-Wagon.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I focused
right.
on. I'm Armo, G-Wagon, white like guy,
the,
Ferrari.
You're like the ninth Kardashian.
Right.
They love super boxy things that don't cheat the wind. Yes. Wow. So are we doing both of them tonight?
What are we doing?
So just for tonight, we're just going to do
announce yourself. Who are you?
So my name is Miguel. I'm the general manager over at Exotic Car Rental. We're literally a small white building right across the street from like the Ritz-Carlton. We have a little over like 25 cars, and our beautiful Ferrari outside is one of our top-of-the-line cars, which is on the raffle tonight.
Is that a 458?
488.
I told you, Mark. You wouldn't listen.
You're right. I knew it was a G-Wagon, a Brabus.
It's, so we got the Mercedes G-Wagon out there, and then the 488.
If an Armo wins the raffle, can the Armo get the G-Wagon?
Of course.
Okay.
The 488
I feel
is,
like that's mandatory.
How many, everybody who's Armo, raise your hand.
The,
not too many Armos.
Not a lot of pride here.
The G-Wagon sits all of you.
The odds are against you, Ben C.
The 488 retails for $235,000 or something?
It's a little over $300,000, yeah.
Over three?
Yeah.
Over three? Wow. All right. Sorry. Sorry.
Jeez,
for,
I paid you more than that for the Lamborghini.
That's true.
You right?
Yeah.
I did.
Don't worry. Yours won't depreciate.
Okay.
The point is, it's a very expensive car. And what do they normally rent out for?
So that one actually normally rents out for around $1,800 a day.
A day?
A day for 24 hours. So let's say you take it at 10 a.m.
$1,800. So if you've got a date and you want to impress the date and pretend like it's your real car, do you give a phony registration card?
It comes with the car, but it's just a copy. So we don't give our address or anything out.
Now, and it's also like $50 a mile or something too, right?
It's that one, I believe, is $4 a mile. But we also have great deals where it's prepaid miles before taking the car for $2 a mile. So I suggest doing the prepaid before anything else.
And do you have any kind of nanny cam or rev limiter or whatever you can tell if someone's gone out and done some hot laps on the track?
I wouldn't say camera, but I could just say that when you hit a certain speed, I'll get a little notification.
You'll get a notification. Yeah. I like that. All right.
Okay, so we're going to do... Marie, come here. Everybody give Marie a hand because she helped put this all
together.
I'm guessing that the thing with the ribbon on it is our certificate. Okay, so Adam, you hold that while you're chugging your tequila.
Thank you. So,
okay, do
so
we have music?
Now, hold on. The G-Wagon rents out for how much a day?
The G-Wagon outside goes out for $2,500 a day.
$2,500 a day?
Yes.
So is it that much more expensive than the Ferrari?
So the reason being it's more expensive than the Ferrari?
Can you rent my cars out?
Sure. the reason being that one's more expensive than the Ferrari. So that's a regular G63 taken to a tuning company named Brabus. And it's a completely lift kit, engine, pretty much switch and everything. And only about 5 G-Wagons have gone through that conversion. So in a way, that's one of 5 in the world sitting outside.
Wow. Now, so, the last time we did something here, we had a 3-year lease for a BMW. And it was Adam, you, and me.
Right.
And do you remember who won that lease?
Yeah, Drew's wife.
Yeah, which was kind of rigged. So if Marie pulls out Lynette's name, then we know it's totally rigged around here. I thought everybody's in here.
No, employees of the station are not eligible for the merge. You know how that goes.
And you can only do it once a month.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. Do I have a name? Okay, how am I going to read this?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Jeremiah Adler.
Whoa! Oh my God! The guy with the second douchiest loafers. It's like some kind of loafer magnet. These cars. Whoa!
It's all yours. You got it.
Wow!
Yeah, right, you came up with it. You got
Wait,
it.
Do I have? Is that the certificate I give?
That's the certificate.
And now we do the G-Wagon. Is that correct?
Are you the girlfriend, the wife, or what? What are you? Girlfriend, you're getting lucky.
Yeah. Oh, wait, she's not going.
What? Oh, wait. It's going to trade her in for a younger model?
I don't want to use the word waste, but why waste a brand new? No, it's fine. Wait, what car do you normally drive?
An electric Fiat.
Oh, perfect.
Oh.
No, this is perfect. This is running from a snowbank into a jacuzzi. No, because if you said I have an Audi R8 or something like that, I'd go, all right, well, that's cool, but this is cooler. But an electric Fiat, it's like really, it's like driving around a toaster oven. It's wow, this is huge. So this is going to be huge.
It's going to be amazing. Thank you.
Nice. All right. Wait, the G-Wagon, is that...
Are we going to do the G-Wagon, too, or are we just doing one?
So just to be clear,
we're just
it was
doing
a,
one. Just to be clear, you're taking the Ferrari, right? You're so
Oh, so
Ferrari,
he gets his choice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a gift certificate to the...
Thank you, Exotic Car Specialist.
Thank you.
Guys so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Great loafers think
we
alike.
We have another question.
Yes.
Ace Man, big fan.
Thank you.
How would you rate how the Trump presidency is going so far?
Oh, boy. Let's see. Very difficult. Let's see. I will separate all of the Russia talk and all of the... all of everything. I like all the talk about lowering the corporate tax rate and getting to work and the business and working and, you know, Wall Street. And I like all that stuff. I'm not really... I am... probably able to separate humans from their actions and like vice versa. Like I've always said, like this whole thing where it's like, hey, this guy's, he'd be great to have a beer with. And like, that's great, except for I'm never going to have a beer with him. So who gives a shit? I just want a guy who works. So as far as his like demeanor and his tweeting and his whatever he says about anything, I don't care about any of that. All I want is brass tacks, work, and business. And I just, well, there's two things I like. I like the fact that he's actually making speeches where he's like, America, we're going to do what's best for us. We're going to get shit done. That whole part where it's like, oh, well, all you're doing is pissing off the rest of the world. Fuck the rest of the world, number one. Number two, they're going to hate us like they hate the, like we, look, who here loves the New England Patriots who's not already a New England Patriots fan? The answer is nobody. And you know why? Because I got five reasons why,
right,
or six or whatever it is. They kick ass. All I want to do is be the New England Patriots of countries, and I like it. I'm fine with all this shit. I really don't care. It's much ado about something, but something I don't give a shit about. I never cared about any of the fluff or any of the window dressing or anything. All I want is, I don't want anyone talking about feelings. I just want them talking about numbers and work and getting people back to work and the economy. That's all I want to hear about. I am insanely tired of everyone talking about good vibes, especially when they're politicians. That's not their job. Kindergarten teachers are supposed to talk about good vibes and psychics, but not politicians. Thank you, Mark.
Lynette wants to know.
Wait, I'll give you a thought. I'll give you one thought on that. There, I probably disagree with him on 90% of the stuff, but I find
Adam.
But I find
yes, me.
A perverse pleasure in him trashing the Department of Justice and the FBI, and the idea that he's now threatening to fire Mueller, and I'm going to fire my own attorney general, and then I'm going to pardon my son, and you think you're going to come after me. I mean, there's some kind of like going North Korea on the Department of Justice that I find very interesting.
What's your
I liked his speech in Poland when he was talking about Western civilization.
The greatest speech of all time by an American president on foreign soil, according to him today.
I have a top 141, but I know I like when he goes, look, our culture's better than other cultures. Western cultures are better than other cultures, and fuck you guys. We worked hard to do it, and we're better. I'm fine with that. And by the way, there's a reason why everyone wants to come here. It's not because we suck. I'm tired of everyone apologizing for this country. Yes.
Yeah, but there's
what
only
are the
one,
odds that you
there's
put
only
on,
one downside. There's only one downside to him. I think he's got dementia. I do.
Adam?
But other than
yeah,
that,
yeah, I think he's got incipient.
Well, that's why Elon's got to build the tunnels, because we're going to congregate there.
Mark, what do you think the odds are of Trump firing Mueller?
I think very good. I think
right.
I think he's already laying the groundwork to force Sessions to either resign or get rid of Sessions. He's already torching Rod Rosenstein, who's the number two, who's the acting AG in the Russian investigation. I think he's going to clean house. And out of the Judiciary Committee today, the new guy got a 20-0 vote, which I find impossible for the FBI director, but we'll see.
What do you think is going to come of the whole Russia thing?
I think he's going to go rogue. I think he's going to just fire everybody or force them to resign, and then I think he's going to pardon his son.
Do you think they're going to find anything that they'll be able to...
They already have. I think that email of Don Jr.'s and the reason that they've lawyered up with Abby Lowell and the reason that they've gotten John Dowd and the reason they've gotten all the other Washington criminal defense lawyer, white-collar guys, is they know they've got a problem. And the whole dribble out of that meeting at Trump Tower where nothing came of it except they had a former intelligence agent from the Russians there and a Russian lawyer who's connected and everything else. I'm telling you, he's going to end up saying, fuck it, I'm going to pardon my son, I'm going to fire everybody.
Wow. CNN's going to love that.
Could be me going off the reservation.
Does Don Jr. take the fifth next Wednesday in his testimony?
No.
Really?
No, I think they'll give him immunity. If they don't give him immunity, that means that they're in, that Mueller's telling him no, he's in the crosshairs as a target of the investigation. You have three levels of being you can either be somebody who is just a subject, you can be somebody who's a target. You can graduate from being a subject to a target, or you can just be somebody who's a person of interest. I think he is a target right now.
So this is, so for you, when we talked about this some weeks or months ago, you said if you get a special prosecutor or an investigator, whatever it is, you
special
just find,
counsel.
You just find things.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Right. Whoever it is, you'll find something.
My career was made in the 90s in the Whitewater investigation with an independent counsel whose name was Ken Starr. And he was coming after my client, who was Clinton's erstwhile business partner in Whitewater. And I used to rail about the idea of a prosecutor who is appointed specifically for a person. It's the worst thing you can do. And I have the same problem with a special counsel. You should not have a personal prosecutor or persecutor, because they're just going to go haywire on you, and that's a problem.
Is this a good example of what you were talking about a few months ago when you said they're just going to find something?
It's exactly, I mean, watching this, go back and Google Bill Clinton and Ken Starr. Everything that Trump is complaining about with Mueller was exactly what Bill Clinton was complaining about with Ken Starr back in the Whitewater days. I mean, it's identical. I'm watching history repeat itself. It's crazy. But Clinton, I don't think was as crazy as Trump is, and I think crazy will go. I think crazy man will go rogue, and I think he'll just fire everybody.
Yeah, I was watching a show, and they were talking about just the insane pressure that you can't avoid when you're under this scrutiny, and they're just, you know, that there's someone assigned to you. It's basically it's the way I feel when I see termite commercials. They just go, they're at it. They never sleep. They don't take off holidays. They're going, and I'm sitting in my den going, they're around. They're going. They're eating me out right now. Like, you start to, if you ever take mushrooms and watch termite commercials on a loop, you will go, I didn't mention the mushroom part first. You ever ingest psilocybin and then watch termite commercials, you will hear them eating around you. He must not be able to play a round of golf or take a dump at 4 a.m. getting ready for a tweet or anything without just knowing that somebody is turning soil on him nonstop.
He is, the problem for him is he's a businessman who's an alpha dog, alpha male. So he's always, every approach is scorched earth, get the lawyers, have them to take a scorched earth approach. He feels like, you can see it, he feels like the AG that he picked Sessions. Mind you, he railed against Sessions day before yesterday. Sessions was his early and first supporter. I mean,
right,
the only mainstream guy who supported him. He's now calling him out. He's going crazy on it. Rod Rosenstein, I've known since Rod was third chair in the 90s as a brand spanking new prosecutor back in Little Rock. Rod Rosenstein
is a former prosecutor. I remember Rod,
former prosecutor.
Too.
Understand that.
Well, I was young too, but we were coming up. We came up together.
And he's calling them out. He considers these the lawyers. The Department of Justice works for me. What are they doing investigating me?
Yep. So, as you said, I think at the very beginning of this, which is, it's their job to find something, and find something they will.
Look, when he tweeted out, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, they better not go after my finances, and the fact that he hasn't revealed the taxes, it's obvious that that's a hot button. It's obvious to me, at least, that he's got Russian investment, that he's got in the tax returns, that he's paying, that he's deducted interest on loans that he's paid to Russians. And if that comes out, it's a feeding frenzy. He can't survive that, so he's going to do whatever he has to do.
Well, I just don't like the optics of it. I don't know what that means, but I've wanted to say that for a long time.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
You just went off the reservation.
Thank you. A very good note to go off on. I should give a plug to ourselves. First, I'll tell you guys, go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out anything about live shows. We have the, what is it, tonight? Is today the Mangria Endless Rant event, or is that? Oh, that's next week. Okay.
Wait, come here, Lynette. Tell
29.
Us about it.
Yeah, talk
about it.
Talk into the mic.
Come here. Talk into the mic or come here, Lynette. By the way, look how good Lynette looks.
Yeah.
Give Lynette a hair.
I would just like to say one thing. I think that the two of you make a fantastic couple.
That's just because you and Paulette want to run away together.
I wasn't going to bring it up at this time, but I did want to broach something with you. As you know, sexuality is a very fluid thing. It can't be contained. I don't think of myself as heterosexual, but I certainly don't think of myself as homosexual. But
you're a metro.
Mark and I have spent a lot of time together over the last year, and we have found a commonality, not
all
only
right.
spiritually,
anyway,
but physically as well.
Bobby, speaking of Paulette, thank you, Paulette.
Paulette, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
I
you,
don't
Paulette.
Know what I'm thanking you for, but thank you.
Thank you, Paulette, because the food is delicious. You guys make a great couple.
Say team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
July 29th, come see us at Rock on the Shop down in LBC if you guys want to hang out with the lackeys and with us. And
El Segundo.
El Segundo. What is this?
El Segundo, South Base Condoms. Condoms. Yeah, sorry. Singing about Mark again.
It's kind of the same thing.
And Loxie's going to be playing. Dawson's band's going to be playing. Stand-up comedy's going to be going off. We'll have Endless Rant there and Mangria. So it'll all be there on Saturday the 29th. Yes?
Yes. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, guys.
Yes, give her a hand. Corolla Drinks Maven. The Corolla Drinks Maven.
Thank you. And the hotel groups. We are 10E we have here.
Well, 10E we're here. Engine Company around the block. Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, V Palm Springs. Gary's a big proponent. And if you get out to the Hamptons, try the Capri. And as long as you're in New York, stop by in Grand Central Station at Prova Pizza.
And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus and Lynette Carolla saying mahalo.
Mahalo.
America's cutest couple, Adam Carolla and Mark Garagus. Special thanks to 10E Restaurant and Corolla Drinks. Always get more information at ReasonableDoubtPodcast.com.
This is Corolla Digital.